Welcome to the Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, this one is from Sherna Spencer.
My cousin's wife, I really loved her. She would help me with my daughter, my daughter is now 9. If I had to travel, I would call her and say, Angie, come over, you know, for the weekend. I have to go to New York to this seminar or conference or whatever. She was a great cook. Oh, my God. She taught me how to cook. I would say to her, look, man, this is great. You know, how do you? She said, okay, so this is how you do that to make it this way. Oh, my gosh. I learned, you know, a little bit about cooking, and she was just really one of those traditional, she was just good at everything. And She had been diagnosed with cancer, and it was in remission and everything. So we were feeling pretty confident. And then she developed this cough, and I and the rest of the family just thought, you know, okay, so, you know, just have her keep going to the hospital. And she was checking it out and having this cough, and, you know, the cough would not go away. Then a few months later, with the cough still there, not getting worse per se, she called me one day, and I think it was a Friday afternoon. I was in my office. You know, she called me and she said, she's at hospice. So I said, what? She's going to the doctor that morning, and then you receive a call, and then somebody says they're in the hospice. I said, what do you mean? She says, well, she went there today, and they told her that the cancer was back. There was nothing they could do. They were sending her, referring her over to hospice. So I sort of sat down at that point, and, you know, I'm trying to just hear that and internalize that. So over the next week or so, our family basically, you know, sorted everything out for her to go to Jamaica, because she decided that she wanted to go there. There is a daughter that she had there. She hadn't seen the daughter for a little while. And she said, you know, okay, so she's not well. The doctor didn't really tell us any time or anything like that. So I even myself had a one-to-one with the doctor and was trying to sort of gather more information as to, you know, wow, how this occurred, and, you know, what are they thinking now? What can we do? And so on and so forth. And I don't think they wanted to scare us. So at any rate, we prepared for her to go on the trip to Jamaica. I went to the airport with her. And, you know, it was just a very emotional time for all of us. I had to watch her come to the airport in an ambulance. We had to send her down with a canister or two of oxygen. We were sorting everything out at the airport, and then we had to then get her onto the flight. So I was allowed to walk with her straight up to the ramp and to the aircraft. And I hadn't planned to fly with her at that point. I was planning on going to visit her in a couple of weeks when my daughter was out of school. So, you know, I was just saying, hey, you know, I'll see you in a little bit. You know, enjoy the reconciliation, so to speak, with your daughter and, you know, the family there and everything like that. So I walked her straight up to the plane, and immediately as I turned around from her, I just burst into tears. I just started, like, bawling right there in the in the airport at the ramp. I don't know why I'm crying. My body is bent and I'm crying. And, you know, one of the stewardesses, she held me and she kind of walked me back to the gate and sat me down in one of those chairs, chairs they have there. I sat there and I cried. And in the midst of it, I'm embarrassed. I'm, I'm sorry. I'm telling them, I am so sorry. I'm crying. I can't stop crying. I cried. The lady stayed with me. I was so happy. I cried until there was nothing else in me to cry. I was just bawling in there. And just in the midst of it all, I'm telling them, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm crying. But I just don't know. I'm just so crying. Ah, my gosh. After I sort of collected myself, it seems like I was just so exhausted from all the crying. I then collected myself and I walked slowly back through the airport and to my car. I sat there for a while and then eventually I went back to home. And the following day, I didn't call that afternoon because I thought, you know what, she needs to get settled. You know, her daughter is going to be there and everybody's going to be around her and everything. I'm just going to wait until tomorrow until I talk to her. So I got myself together in the morning. I come to the office and I'm here and I'm doing things and everything like that. And I, you know, I'm just running around trying to do things. And I get a call from her husband, my cousin. And he says, Angie's gone. I said, what? Angie's gone. I said, look, I'm another sit down in the chair moment. And, you know, apparently something had happened with the, we're not sure really, and, you know, we'll never know. But during the flight, something happened. Maybe she wasn't receiving enough oxygen or whatever. By the time they arrived, things were far gone for her, apparently, and she passed away and never was able to see her daughter. So I sat in my office for some long, long time, and in the days afterwards, just trying to understand and cope with the fact of her dying. But then in my objective moments, I suppose, I started thinking back, and I thought, I knew, not consciously, but I knew that it was the last time I was going to see her. I must have known. That's why I was carrying on so much in the airport. Because, I mean, we sent down medication that would have kept her going for about 3 months. I knew my instincts, my sixth sense, my whatever it is, knew that she was going to be gone soon.
Sherna Spencer with a sad story, Karen.
And the emotion really comes out in Sherna's tone of voice. It comes out in the details that she shares.
And I could relate to it. I mean, everybody has to deal with death eventually, but it's almost as if she was in denial, not really expecting death when it was right in front of her.
Well, here's the thing about death. I know this from volunteering at hospice for a while. Nobody really knows when it's going to hit. People give estimates, but nobody really knows.
And it certainly was unexpected for Sherna.
And it may very well have been unexpected for her cousin's wife as well.
It's interesting how even I was kind of in a denial of Angie's death, because when Sherna first heard that she was gone, I didn't really think that was death.
Yes, you know, Sherna does something fabulous in setting up this story. She starts off by saying how much she loved this person, and then she says she developed a cough. Now, I didn't know this story before I heard it, but being a student and professor of storytelling, I knew what was to come. I knew that a good storyteller gives you a setup. Think about those movies you've seen, those disaster movies, where at the beginning you see the young man on the plane looking at the picture of his fiance. We need to care, obviously not in the proportion to which Sherna cares, but we need to care about this person when she's alive and well. And then we need to see something happen piece by piece. That's what storytelling is. We need to live with this person, even her cough, not knowing what's to come. She led us through it the way she experienced it.
the fact that she couldn't control her crying, she credits that to knowing that something was going to happen?
Well, I don't think she knew at the time what she knew, Michael. And I think that's one of the things that makes this story so interesting. Sometimes our bodies know things, our unconscious knows something, but we don't know it. We don't know it in a conscious way. I'm sure if she had, she would have jumped on that plane.
And it sounds as if it's difficult sharing this story.
There are stories that are difficult to tell, but we need to tell them. And I think this one is invaluable for anybody who has faced or is going to face a similar situation. You know, when Sherna first introduces Angie to us, she is clearly so enamored of her cousin's wife. She says things like, oh, she was a great cook. Oh, my gosh, man. And her voice has such excitement in it. This is the flip side of love. We mourn someone's loss in direct proportion to how much we love them. And this is what a good family or a good friendship is about. And one of the things I feel in listening to this story is it's okay to mourn somebody when we feel bad, terrible about losing somebody. What it means is that we truly loved that person, and that's quite a gift.
Thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have a story they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email at cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E at fau.edu.
Or our website has further information as well as archive stories at wlrn.org. Click radio and the public storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Michael.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.